ॐ गिनजमिनन्दस्य जनाजनशलकया चक्षुस्मृतं येन तस्मै श्री गुरवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमृगीष्टां मुक्तपितां दीनबुद्धये सायं प्रगदं नयं ददति सापदन्तिकम् मन्त्रिकपजुव्यश्च किवसिन्धुवैश्च प्रीतरं भवनेभ्यो वैष्णवेभ्यो नमो नमः. Pallava Maharaj is offering his prayers to Lord Nrisimhadev. Lord Nrisimhadev's anger is blazing. And Pallava, by his sweet prayers, by evoking affection from Lord Nrisimhadev, will calm down the manifest anger of the Lord that was caused by Hiranyakashipu's threatening Pallava Maharaj. So up to this point in his prayers, Pallava has talked about his fortune, or just previously, how rare it is that someone gets the blessings that Pallava Maharaj got. The Lord himself touched him upon Prahlad's head. And Prahlad didn't want from Lord Nrisimhadev anything material. He explained that because he's seen in his father's case that all material situations, all material opulence, all material power can be vanquished within a moment. What he wanted, on the other hand, was to gain the Lord's shelter. He saw, practically speaking, that all material opulences, all material situations are crushed by time. Materialistic persons, even if they may be very wise, cannot understand this. Why? Prahlad said, because they have uncontrolled senses and they're attached. And because what one sees is dictated by the mind. Materialistic persons, intelligent as they are, due to their minds, cannot see the very nature of the material world. On one level they may even see it, but they cannot act on that level. And therefore they too tried to seek material happiness. But yet, Prahlad says, even though I am not wise, even though I am born in the family of Asuras, still you have blessed me. Why? How is this? This is by your causeless mercy. So then, in the last verse we read yesterday, he was talking about what brings causeless mercy upon someone. Is it partiality? Which again was the topic that originally brought this question of partiality, the Lord's partiality, that in relationship to the Lord taking the side of the demigods against the demons in the pastime of Vrikasura. That question brought this whole topic with Sukadev replying to Maharaj Prickett's inquiry, which brought up the Narada replying to Yudhisthira Maharaj and brought up this whole narration of the pastime of Hiranyakashipu. But no, it is not the Lord's partiality. Rather, he's reciprocating. The Lord reciprocates. Yeyatamam prapadyante. He reciprocates with every living entity according to the desire of every living entity. So Prahlad was expressing his appreciation for that the Lord, despite his lack of qualities, good qualities, good qualifications, still, the Lord was so kind to him. He protected him. He touched him. Benedicted him. So now the same discussion of why the Lord was so kind to Prahlad. In the next two verses, it will be described further. This next verse, text 28, is a very important verse. evam janam na prapititam janam na patitam prabhavar hikupe kama bikamam manoya papatan pasange kvidvatma sat surichina bhagavan grihita soham kitam nu visaje tapavritya sevam. This verse, evam, thus. Janam, people in general, napatitam, fallen, prabhava, of material existence, ahikupe, in a blind well full of snakes. So Prahlada is saying, thus, what was my situation? Kama abhikamam, desiring sense objects, because I desired sense objects. Anu, following. I was following. Janam, Abram Janam, the people in general. I was doing what everyone else is doing in this world. And what are they doing? Due to their sense enjoyment, they've fallen. Napatitam. They're falling into the well of material existence. Why is material existence compared to a well? It is a blind well. A blind well is a disused well, a well that's no longer in use, in the middle of a field. And grass grows over the top. And then someone, or an animal, or a person is walking along in some barren field or distant field, and he falls in this blind well, not knowing what's going to happen to him, or what he was doing. He just doesn't see it, and he falls in. And there's no one around. He may break his leg. He may be trapped down there. He can't get out. He calls, he screams, he's suffering. Maybe there's even snakes down there, but he's trapped. He can't get out. So Prahlada is saying, I had fallen due to my material desires. He's not blaming everyone else, but due to my own desires, I was following the general mass of people and had fallen into this this kupe, this well. Kama bikamam manoya prapatam prasangam. But, so I was hopeless. I was lost in this deep well of material existence. And then, prasangam, because of bad association, or increased association with material desires. And I was trying to enjoy in that well as well. Now, kritvatma sat surishina. Sura rishina means the rishi, the holy person, the teacher, amongst the suras, amongst the demigods. He's also called Deva Rishi or Sura Rishi, Narada Muni. So this Sura Rishi, this great saintly person, by his association, kritvatma sat, he caused me to acquire spiritual qualities like his own, like himself. Bhagawan, oh my Lord, Guhitam. So that person accepted me, and by accepting me, by giving me his association, he's caused me to gain qualities like the ones he has. Therefore, so ham katam nu visraje tapa pritya seva. Therefore, how can I give up my service to him? He has saved me. How has he saved me? By his association, by his instructions. He's caused me to gain qualities like he has. Just like when iron, dull, cold iron, is placed in the association of fire, tadatmika, with fire. It gains the qualities of fire, and indeed, that iron can act as if fire, and it can burn, it can brand and burn and cause another fire. So this is what Prahlada is saying. So how could I give up the service after what he's done? Here is Prabhupada's translation. My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, because of my association with material desires, one after another, I was gradually falling into a blind well full of snakes, following the general populace. But Your servant Narada Muni kindly accepted me as his disciple and instructed me how to achieve this transcendental position. Therefore, my first duty is to serve him. How could I leave his service? And then the second verse, we'll read Prabhupada's purports in a moment. My Lord, O unlimited reservoir of transcendental qualities, you have killed my father, Hiranyakashipu, and saved me from his sword. He has said very angrily, if there is any supreme controller other than me, let him save you. Hiranyakashipu pulled out his sword and said, if your God is everywhere, I want to see him. Meaning, let him stop me then from killing you. I shall now sever your head from your body. Prahlad is saying, my father said. Therefore, I think that both in saving me and in killing him, you have acted just to prove true the words of your devotee. There is no other cause. So here Prahlad is speaking about the cause of causeless mercy. Something that is causeless by definition doesn't have a cause. Yet, causeless mercy does have a cause. There is one sense that it's causeless, but there are certain things that can attract it. There are certain things that attract causeless mercy. When a devotee is very qualified and he has a golden heart, of a golden devotional heart, that attracts the Lord's causeless mercy. It can't force it to come, but it attracts it. But yet, that's not what Prahlad is saying here about this kind of causeless mercy. This causeless mercy is the Lord freely carrying out the word and desire of his dear devotee Narada Muni. Because Prahlad has said, you have been so causelessly merciful to me a few verses ago. What is that? You've touched me. Even Lakshmi Devi, even Lord Shiva, Lord Brahma. You haven't placed your hands upon their heads, but you placed your hand upon my head, benedicting me. And you saved me from the hands of my father who is trying to kill me. Although I was born in a horrible family, I'm unqualified, yet you did this. This is your mercy. But here he's saying the cause of that mercy was the words of Narada Muni, the blessings of his guru. And Prahlad on his side, of course, he expressed his devotion to his guru. So we'll read these two purports and we'll explain these points further. Text 28, Prabhupada's purport to the Evam Janam Nap. As will be seen in later verses, even though Prahlad Maharaj was directly offered all the benedictions he might have desired, he refused to accept such offerings from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. On the contrary, he asked the Lord to engage him in the service of his servant, Narada Muni. This is the symptom of a pure devotee. One should serve the spiritual master first. It is not that one should bypass the spiritual master and desire to serve the Supreme Lord. This is not the principle for a Vaishnava. Narottama Das Thakur says, Tandera charana seva sevi bhakti sane vas janame hoi avilas. One should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. My desire, birth after birth, is to bhakti sanevas, to live with the devotees and to serve their lotus feet. Tandera charana sevi, to live with devotees and serve their lotus feet. So one should not be anxious to offer direct service to the Lord. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advised that one become a servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord, Gopi Bharta Parakamalayor, Dasadas Sanadas. This is the process for approaching the Supreme Lord. The first service should be rendered to the spiritual master that by his mercy one can approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead to render service. While teaching Rupa Goswami, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, Guru Krishna Prasade Pai Bhakti Lata Bija. One can achieve the seed of devotional service by the mercy of the Guru, the spiritual master, and then by the mercy of Krishna. This is the secret of success. First, one should try to please the spiritual master, and then one should attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur also says, Yasya prasara bhagavat prasaro. One should not attempt to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead by concoction. One must first be prepared to serve the spiritual master, and when one is qualified, he is automatically offered the platform of direct service to the Lord. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj proposed that he engage in the service of Narada Muni. He never proposed that he engage directly in the service of the Lord. This is the right conclusion. Therefore, he said, Soham kutam nu vrishade tava vritya seva. How can I give up the service of my spiritual master, who has favored me in such a way that I am not now able to see you face to face? Prahlad Maharaj prayed to the Lord that he might continue to engage in the service of his spiritual master, Narada Muni. Very powerful verse, very powerful purport. And now, Prabhupada's purport, we'll read part of Prabhupada's purport to the verse where he says that he was benedicted by Lord Nisringadev because of the words of his Guru Maharaj, Narada Muni, Lord Nisringadev's devotee, the devotee of the Lord. And then he says, there is no other cause. So from Prabhupada's purport. When Prahlad's mother, Hiranyakashipu's wife, Kayadu, was under the protection of Narada, she prayed for the protection of her son from the enemy. And Narada Muni gave assurance that Prahlad Maharaj would always be saved from the enemy's hands. Thus, when Hiranyakashipu was going to kill Prahlad Maharaj, the Lord saved Prahlad to fulfill the promise in Bhagavad Gita, Kaunteya Pratijani Hi Name Bhakta Pranashyati. To declare it boldly, Krishna tells Arjuna that his devotee will never perish. And so to prove, fulfill his promise that his devotee, the Lord's devotee, will never perish, and to prove true the words of Narada. The Lord can fulfill many purposes through one action. Thus, the killing of Hiranyakashipu and the saving of Prahlad were enacted simultaneously to prove the truthfulness of the Lord's devotee and the fidelity of the Lord himself to his own purpose. The Lord acts only to satisfy the desires of his devotees. Otherwise, he has nothing to do. There's such a nice, an interesting section of the Bhagavatam in the first canto. In the first canto, there is almost a special introduction to Krishna. It's the first time we actually see Krishna in action. In the third canto, Krishna himself. In the third canto, there's a description by Uddhava. Not a description, but a summary of Krishna's pastimes, verse by verse, inside and outside of Vrindavan. But we don't actually see Krishna in action. There's just a recounting. And then the next time we actually hear directly or see Krishna in action is in the 10th canto. So in the first canto, the very first canto, there is a wonderful description of Krishna's activities as he saves Arjuna from the Brahmastra thrown by Aswatthama. He saves Maharaj Prickett, who was in the womb of Uttara, his mother, from the Brahmastra thrown by Aswatthama. And then he leaves his Hastinapur. He starts to leave Hastinapur, and Kunti Devi offers wonderful prayers, and he doesn't go because Yudhisthira wants Krishna to do something. He wants him to relieve his misery. And then they go to see Bhishma Dev, and Krishna is present during the departure of Bhishma Dev. So all these approving the bhakta vatsal nature of Krishna, how he is so, his devotees are so dear to him, how he leans, atma parjanta vidanyata, how he leans, he's so inclined to his devotees. Then Krishna does eventually leave Hastinapur, and the ladies of Hastinapur pray from the roofs, and then he enters Dwarka. And when he enters Dwarka, he is met by so much pomp, and He sees so many people who love him and who praise him, and then he finally enters into the homes, his own home, after seeing his mother's and father's mothers. Then he enters and sees his queens, the queens of Dwarka. And then in several verses, there is a very intimate description of Krishna's dealings with his queens. And Prabhupada explains in these purports in a very powerful way how Krishna is acting with his queens just simply in reciprocation with the specific desire that they have to love him in a particular way. This is Krishna. He's awarded them their perfected spiritual bodies, or they have these bodies made of the spiritual energy, and he is reciprocating with them just to please them. He's acting as their husband because they wish to love him in that mood. So thus, when he personally does something, Prabhupada explains at the end of this purport to 29, it is only to satisfy his devotees. When Krishna creates this world, sometimes we hear that this world or universe is created because it's the prison house and there has to be a place for the rectification of the prisoners, etc. That's one way to look at it. But another way to look at the creation is that he has done this because Lord Brahma, his devotee, desires to be Lord Brahma. This is his intrinsic nature. He wants to be Lord Brahma. He wants to create the universe. So therefore Krishna empowers him to create the universe. Everything is based on these desires of Krishna reciprocating with his devotees. Thus, when he personally does something, especially personally, it is only to satisfy his devotee. The Lord is known as Bhakta Vatsala because he very much favors his devoted servant. So who is this Lord that is standing before Prahlad Maharaj as Narasingha, as man and lion? What are his qualities? He's benedicted Prahlad. He's listened. He's subservient, in one sense, to the promise of his devotee, Narada Muni. And who is he? So we'll read some verses describing the qualities of the Lord, especially how the ways that he deals with the material world. Because Nisringadeva is a Leela avatar. In this section, ending, I think, in 38, will describe how the Lord has come as Leela avatar. This is one of the ways that he enters the universe. He is there everywhere in the universe, as we'll hear. He has an incredible relationship with the universe. He's everything. He's none different from anything, yet he's aloof. But he specifically enters as Leela avatars to perform particular pastimes, as he has just done with Prahlad Maharaj and the killing of Lord Nisringadev. So two things went on simultaneously again. The killing of Hiranyakashipu, rather, and the protection of Prahlad. So we'll read all the verses, and then again we'll read some purports. The Lord is everything. Nothing is separate from him. My dear Lord, Prahlad continues, you alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation, for you existed before the creation. So this is explained, and the Prophet will quote the Brahma Samhita, and also in the Chatur Sloki Bhagavatam verses, Aham Eva Sameva Gray, Nanyat Sat Sat Param Paschadaham Yere Tatschad Yo Vishesheta Sosmiham. In the beginning there was only Krishna, Aham, he says three times in that verse, Aham Eva Sameva Gray. It was I who was alone. So many times this is explained in detail, here in summary. You alone manifest yourself as the entire cosmic manifestation, for you existed before the creation. So it is Krishna, It is manifest from Him. He manifested Himself as the creation through His external energy. You existed. You exist after the annihilation, and you are the maintainer between the beginning and the end. All this is done by your external energy through actions and reactions of the three modes of material nature. Therefore, whatever exists externally and internally is you alone. We'll read the verse, the purport. We'll read part of it, the second part. The entire cosmic manifestation is but an expansion of the Lord's energy. Everything rests in Him, yet He exists separately beyond creation, maintenance, and annihilation. The varieties of creation are performed by His external energy. Because the energy and energetic are one, everything is one. Sarva Kalavidam Brahma. Therefore, without Krishna, the Param Brahma, nothing can exist. The difference between the material and spiritual worlds is that His external energy is manifest in the material world, whereas His spiritual energy exists in the spiritual world. Both energies, however, belong to the Supreme Lord, and therefore, in a higher sense, there is no exhibition of material energy because everything is spiritual energy. So everything is spiritual. And the Lord's maintenance of His devotee is also spiritual, because it is the Lord who is doing it. In the highest sense, there is nothing material for Him. Next verse. So He is everything. Everything is expanded from Him. There is nothing separate from Him. His mercy is all there is. A devotee can perceive himself as living simply in the mercy of the Lord, yet, as Prabhupada explained already in the purport, that He Himself is aloof. He is separate. He's not aloof in the sense of having nothing to do with the material world and material energy, but He's aloof in the sense of Him, His existence is also separate, although everything rests upon Him. Prahlad continues, "My dear Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, the entire cosmic creation is caused by You, and the cosmic manifestation is an effect of Your energy. All the entire cosmos is but You alone. You keep Yourself aloof from it. The conception of mine and Yours is certainly a type of illusion, Maya, because everything is an emanation from You, and is therefore not different from You. Indeed, the cosmic manifestation is none different from You, and the annihilation is also caused by You. This relationship between Your Lordship and the cosmos is illustrated by the example of the seed and the tree, or the subtle cause and the gross manifestation." We'll read parts of Prabhupada's purport where that example will be clearly given, clearly explained. In the Bhagavad Gita 7.10, the Lord says, "Bijamam savabhutanam vidhi parta sanatanam." O son of Prita, know that I am the original seed of all existences. In the Vedic literature it is said, "Isavasyamidam savam yatova imani bhutani dayanti," and "Savakalavidam brahma." All this Vedic information indicates there is only one God, and that there is nothing else but Him. The Mayavadi philosophers explain this in their own way, but the Supreme Personality of God asserts the truth that He is everything, and yet He is separate from everything. This is the philosophy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is called Ajintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. Everything is one, the Supreme Lord, yet everything is separate from the Lord. This is the understanding of oneness and difference. And later in Prabhupada's purport. True oneness, however, is not equivalent to the conception of the Mayavadis. The true understanding is that the differences are manifested by the energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The seed is manifested as a tree, which displays varieties in its trunk, branches, leaves, flowers, and fruits. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has therefore sung, "Keshavatuya Jagatavachitra." My dear Lord, Your creation is full of varieties. The varieties are one and at the same time different. This is the philosophy of Achintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. The conclusion given in Brahma Samhita is this: Ishvara Paramakrishna Satchidananda Vigraha Anadir Adi Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. Krishna, known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal blissful spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. But because the Lord is the supreme cause, everything is one with him. But when we consider varieties, we find that one thing is different from another. We may conclude, therefore, that there is no difference between one thing and another, yet in varieties there are differences. In this regard, Madhvacharya gives an example concerning a tree and a fire in a tree, and a tree and fire on fire. Both trees are the same, but they look different because of the time factor. The time factor is under the control of the Supreme Lord, and therefore the Supreme Lord is different from time. An advanced devotee consequently does not distinguish between happiness and distress. As stated in Srimad Bhagavatam 10.14.8, Tateyanu kampam susumikshamano bunjine vapmakritam vapakam. When a devotee is in a condition of so-called distress, he considers it a gift or blessing from the Supreme Personality of Godhead. When a devotee is always thus situated in Krishna consciousness, in any condition of life, he is described as Muktipade Sadayabhak, a perfect candidate for returning home back to Godhead. The word Dayabhak means inheritance. A son inherits the property of his father. Similarly, when the devotee is fully Krishna conscious, undisturbed by dualities, he is sure that he will return home back to Godhead, just as one inherits his father's property. So the Lord is like the seed of the tree. And from the seed, the entire material, the whole tree comes, just as with all its varieties, just as the entire material manifestation comes from the Lord. But when one looks at the tree, one cannot see the seed. So similarly, when one looks simply at the material world, one cannot perceive the Lord, but yet he is the cause. So that's explained in the verse. So there is nothing separate from him, yet he is distinct from everything. Text 32. O my Lord, O Supreme Personality of Godhead, after the annihilation, the creative energy is kept in you, who appear to sleep with half-closed eyes. Actually, however, you do not sleep like an ordinary human being, for you are always in a transcendental stage beyond the creation of the material world, and you always feel transcendental bliss. As Karanadakshay Vishnu, you thus remain in your transcendental status, not touching material objects. Although you appear to sleep, this sleeping is distinct from sleeping in ignorance. So even when the Lord, when all the material energy is wound up within him and he is sleeping, his sleep is full of bliss, not full of ignorance like a living person, because he's always transcendentally situated. Text 33. This cosmic manifestation, the material world, is also your body. This total lump of matter is agitated by your potent energy known as Kala Shakti. It's time. And thus the three modes of material nature are manifested. So when the Pradhan, this was described in the third canto, so many places actually, but especially in Kapila Muni's teachings, when the Pradhan, the primal ingredient, is glanced upon by the Lord, his Kala Shakti enters and he agitates it. And thus Prakriti is formed, the Mahatattva is formed, or the manifest three modes of material nature. Within that glance of the Lord is the Kala Shakti time, the living entities, their karma, and the combination of time and the living entities and their karma, and Krishna's supreme will is Ichha Shakti, his desire, causes the material creation to move forward. You awaken from the bed of Shesha, Ananta, And from your navel, as Govardhaksha Vishnu, a small transcendental seed is generated. It is from this seed that the lotus flower of the gigantic universe is manifested, exactly as a banyan tree grows from a small seed. So this is very much like parts of the third canto. We'll read from Prabhupada's purport. Because this verse was explaining Karanadakshay Vishnu and Govardhakshay Vishnu. Govardhakshay Vishnu is an expansion of Karanadakshay Vishnu, who is an expansion of Shankarshan, who is an expansion ultimately of Lord Balaram, who is an expansion of Krishna. In this way, Krishna is ultimately the cause of all causes, Sarva Karana Karanam. The conclusion is that both the material world and spiritual world are considered to be the body of the Supreme Lord. We can understand that the material body is caused by the spiritual body, and it is therefore an expansion of the spiritual body. Thus, when one takes up spiritual activities, one's entire material body is spiritualized. Similarly, in this material world, when the Krishna consciousness movement expands, the entire material world becomes spiritualized. As long as we do not realize this, we live in the material world. But when we are fully Krishna conscious, we live not in the material world, but in the spiritual world. Vishrapurna sukhayate. And then even the material world becomes a place of bliss, a blissful place. Usually we say the material world is dukhalayam ashashvatam anitya sukham lokam, a miserable place where everything is temporary. But actually, that is just to discourage us from trying to enjoy in the material world, because that causes us misery. But for one who is a devotee, who is pure, who is a servant of Krishna, who has given up his enjoying spirit, or enjoying spirit, then the material world, sukhayate, it's actually a blissful place. It's not different from the spiritual world. So therefore in the Bhagavad Gita, in one purport, Prabhupada says that when the Brahma Jyoti is covered by maya or illusion, then it is called material. So when the maya is removed, when the illusion is removed, when the separateness from Krishna, the feeling of separateness from Krishna is removed, then we're in the spiritual world. Text 34. So he's describing, Prahlad is describing how the Lord existed first, everything rests upon him, and then the lotus comes from the Lord's navel. And then 34. From that great lotus flower, Brahma was generated. But Brahma certainly could see nothing but the lotus. Therefore, thinking you to be outside, Lord Brahma dove into the water and attempted to find the source of the lotus for 100 years. He could find no trace of you, however, for when a seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. Prabhupada's purport. This is the description of the cosmic manifestation. The development of the cosmic manifestation is like the fructification of a seed. When cotton is transformed into thread, the cotton is no longer visible. And when the thread is woven into cloth, the thread is no longer visible. Similarly, it is perfectly correct that when the seed has generated from the navel of Govardhakshay Vishnu, when the seed that had generated from the navel of Govardhakshay Vishnu became manifested as the cosmic creation, one could no longer understand where the cause of the cosmic manifestation is. Modern scientists have tried to explain the origin of creation by a chunk theory. Well, now they have the black hole theory, which is a singularity, I think they call it, of infinite density and pulls everything into it, even light. Is the black hole the navel of Lord Govardhakshay Vishnu? Probably not. but that's a better explanation for what it is than what they have. What caused the black hole? And it sucks everything into it. And then what? Where does it go? There's nothing. What happens after it's in? Where does it go? I'll ask you later and you can explain it. Where does it go? It just into what happened? What's on the other side of the black hole? Who created the system that creates the black holes? All the chunks. So Prabhupada says that the material scientists have tried to explain the origin of creation by a chunk theory, but no one can explain how such a chunk might have burst. The Vedic literature, however, explains clearly that the total material energy was agitated by the three modes of material nature because of the glance of the Supreme Lord. In other words, in terms of the chunk theory, the bursting of the chunk, as well as the black hole, was caused by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thus, one must accept the Supreme Cause, Lord Vishnu, as the cause of all causes. So neither the greatest, the macrocosm, can be understood, nor the microcosm. The smallest, breaking the atoms apart and breaking the small gluons and quarks or whatever are in there, breaking them apart and breaking and breaking and breaking and breaking to the smaller than the smallest, and still no answer. What's behind it all? And when we look at the biggest things, no answer. But through the Vedic theory, you can understand Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, is Lord Vishnu, and the cause of Lord Vishnu is Krishna ultimately. But when the seed fructifies, the original seed cannot be seen. Cannot be seen through atom smashes or great, great, great telescopes, but can be seen through bhakti. That's the point. Different mechanism required. Lord Brahma, so continuing with the creation, Lord Brahma, who was celebrated as Atma Joni, having been born without a mother, was struck with wonder. Thus he took shelter of the lotus flower, and when he had been purified after undergoing severe austerities for many hundreds of years, he could see that the cause of all causes, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, was spread throughout his own body and senses, just as aroma, although very subtle, is perceived in the earth. So Brahma went down into the water and searched for the cause of himself, like a scientist, through his own power for 100 years. And then, at some point, he came up against the time factor, which is the chakra of the Lord, an aspect of the Lord's chakra. It's like if you stand on the top of a very tall building and you look down, what do you experience?
Dizziness.
Huh? Dizziness? I hope not. What do you experience? You know that feeling, you get this feeling in your stomach of terror. That's a particular energy of the Lord. That's the time factor. So Brahma experienced that, the time factor, and terrified. Because the time factor means death, it means destruction of everything that we know on the material level. Terrifying. So then he went back on the lotus and he took adopted a different methodology for understanding. Prompted by the Lord saying tapa, austerity, he performed austerity sitting on the lotus for a very long time meditating, and then Krishna was pleased with him. It wasn't exactly due to his austerity, but it was his bhakti. Krishna allowed him to see that the Lord was manifest everywhere. He saw the plan of the creation, and he understood things. He actually saw the Lord too. Now, the Lord was there, but he could not perceive it. Just like aroma is within the earth, we cannot perceive it. From Prabhupada's purport to this verse. One should realize that since the Supreme Lord spreads throughout one's body, and since the individual soul is part of the Supreme Lord, everything is Brahman. Sarvam Kalavidam Brahma. This realization that Krishna is everywhere and everything was achieved by Lord Brahma after he was purified, and it is possible for everyone. When one is completely in knowledge of Aham Brahmasmi, he thinks, I am part of the Supreme Lord, my body is made of the material energy, and therefore I have no separate existence. Yet although the Supreme Lord is spread everywhere, he is different from me. This is the philosophy of Acintya Bheda Bheda Tattva. An example given in this regard is that of the aroma within the earth. On the earth there are aromas and colors, but one cannot see them. Actually, we find that when flowers grow from the earth, they appear with different colors and aromas, which they have certainly gathered from the earth, although in the earth we cannot see them. Similarly, the Supreme Lord, by his different energies, spreads throughout one's body and soul, and we cannot see him. An intelligent man, however, can see the Supreme Lord existing everywhere. Andantarasta paramanu chantarastam. The Lord is within the universe and within the atom by his different energies. This is the real vision of the Supreme Lord for the intelligent man. Brahma, the first created being, became the most intelligent person by his tapasya, austerity, and thus he came to this realization. We must therefore take all knowledge from Brahma, who became perfect by his tapasya. So what happens when one perceives the Lord everywhere, as Brahma did? We'll hear what Brahma achieved. Text 36. Lord Brahma could then see you possessing thousands and thousands of faces, feet, hands, heads, thighs, noses, ears, and eyes. You are very nicely decorated, being decorated and bedecked with varieties of ornaments and weapons. Seeing you in the form of Lord Vishnu, your symptoms and form being transcendental, your legs extending from the lower planets, Lord Brahma achieved transcendental bliss. So, perceiving the all-pervading Lord, one gets blissful. But yet he's seeing the Lord with hands and arms and legs all decorated. That means that the Lord is a person. That means that the impersonal aspect comes from the personal. What Brahma saw was the personal. And yet, he's spread everywhere. Text 37. Prahlad continues. My dear Lord, so this is how the Lord has created the universe, and then he enters in the universe as Lila avatars. So this is explained in 37 and 38. My dear Lord, when you appeared as Hayagriva with the head of a horse, you killed two demons known as Madhu and Kaitaba, who were full of the modes of passion and ignorance. Then you delivered the Vedic knowledge to Lord Brahma. For this reason, all the great saints accept your forms as transcendental, untinged by material qualities. And then the next verse, and then we'll go back and read purports. In this way, my Lord, you appear in various incarnations, as a human being, an animal, a great saint, a demigod, a fish, or a tortoise, thus maintaining the entire creation in different planetary systems and killing the demoniac principles. According to the age, O my Lord, you protect the principles of religion. In the age of Kali, however, you do not assert yourself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore you are known as Triyuga, or the Lord who appears in three yugas. So these are the different existences of the Lord. And the Sringadeva, again, is one of these Lila avatars who's come to protect and to kill both. Prabhupada's purport to 37, we'll read some of the purport. The last, where Prabhupada summarizes. In summary, when the Lord incarnates, he appears in his original transcendental form. As the Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita 4:7, Yada yada hidamasya glanir bhavati bharata adbhutanam adamasya tadatmanam shrijam yaham. Whenever and wherever there is a decline in religious practice, O descendant of Bharata, and a predominant rise of irreligion, at that time I descend myself. It is simply foolish to think of the Lord as being originally impersonal but accepting a material body when he appears as a personal incarnation. Whenever the Lord appears, he appears in his original transcendental form, which is spiritual and blissful. But unintelligent men, such as the Mayavadis, cannot understand the transcendental form of the Lord, and therefore the Lord chastises them by saying, Avajanantimam mudha manushyam tanamashutam. Fools deride me when I descend in the human form. Whenever the Lord appears, whether as a fish, a tortoise, a hog, or any other form, one should understand that he maintains his transcendental position, that his only business, as stated here, is hatva, to kill the demons. The Lord appears in order to protect the devotees and kill the demons. Pritranaya sadunam vinashaya chaduskritam. Since the demons are always ready to oppose Vedic civilization, they are sure to be killed by the transcendental form of the Lord. And the final verse purport we'll read today, where Prahlad explains how the Lord is Triyuga, appearing only in three yugas, three out of the four. So here's Prabhupada's purport. As the Lord appeared just to maintain Lord Brahma from the attack of Madhu and Kaitava, he also appeared to protect the great devotee Prahlad Maharaj. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya appeared in order to protect the fallen souls of Kali Yuga. There are four yugas or millenniums, Satya, Treta, Dwapara and Kali. In all the yugas but Kali Yuga, the Lord appears in various incarnations and asserts himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who appears in Kali Yuga, is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he never asserted himself as such. On the contrary, whenever Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was addressed as being as good as Krishna, he blocked his ears with his hands, denying his identity with Krishna because he was playing the part of a devotee. Lord Chaitanya knew that in Kali Yuga there would be many bogus incarnations pretending to be God, and therefore he avoided asserting himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accepted as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, however, in many Vedic literatures, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, 11.5.32, Krishna Vanam Trisha Krishnam Sangopastrasta Parshadam Yagyai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedasa. In Kali Yuga, intelligent men worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the form of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is always accompanied by his associates, such as Nityananda, Advaita, Gadadhara, and Shivas. The entire Krishna consciousness movement is based on the principle of the Sankirtan movement inaugurated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Therefore, one who tries to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the medium of the Sankirtan movement knows everything perfectly. He is Sumedas, a person with substantial intelligence. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jay, Sri Prahlad Maharaj ki jay, Lord Nisrinidev ki jay, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ki jay, Srila Prabhupada ki jay, Gaur Premanandi Hare Gaur.